A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. When the apostles had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There are witnesses among us to a street called Horseshoe Bend. The last week in January, it seems like a decade ago, I picked up one of our oldest parishioners at his house, and he got into my car. We drove to a restaurant. Now, I don't know if you remember what a restaurant is, but at a restaurant, you go inside a building with lots of other people, and you sit at a booth, and they take your order, and then they bring you food. Okay, all right, you remember what a restaurant is. It seems like such a long time ago. But we were sitting at this restaurant, as people used to do, and this parishioner was telling me about Baraboo from days gone by. Now, I could tell you about life in Kirkland, Illinois from 20 years ago, and maybe at the edges of my memory from 30 years ago, but this guy was telling me stories of 80 and 85 years ago as though they had happened just last week. Here's one example. When I drive home from the dance studio where I work out, when there's not a global pandemic on, I come to the stop sign at Walnut and Water Streets. And I turn right on Walnut Street, and the street goes up sharply. And then halfway up, bends 90 degrees to the west, and then 90 degrees to the north. And you pass the new Bella Vita Cafe, and then the Civic Center as you go up the hill. Now, I've always just thought as that street is the funny little bend where Walnut Street turns into Ash Street, and it's a great big hill. It's difficult to push a stroller up. But at our lunch in the restaurant that day, my friend told me that funny little hill, when he was growing up, was always called Horseshoe Bend. There's no sign on the street that says that that's its name. There's really no way to know, short of digging in old newspapers or something, that was what it was once called. Really, the only connection I have with that name of that particular street is through this parishioner. Really, in fact, the only connection I have with the way life used to be some 80 years ago in Baraboo is to trust that this friend is telling me the truth. Because he was there. He was a witness to a time that is no more. He is a witness to a place that, even though it still exists, is much different than the Baraboo we live in today. As Jesus gets ready to ascend into heaven, Jesus tells his disciples that they are going to receive the Holy Spirit so that they will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when we say the word witness in church, I fear we have the wrong idea about what that means. I fear that we get an image of somebody shouting on a street corner into a bullhorn, with a sandwich board sign listing all of the bad things that people have done that will send them straight to hell, and telling them that they need to repent or perish. But when Jesus tells his disciples to be witnesses, I don't think that's what he's doing. I don't think he's telling them to go find a bullhorn and a soapbox to stand on. I think he's talking about being a witness the same way that my parishioner is a witness to a life that has gone by. Jesus is telling his disciples that they are going to be living connections to the events of the earthly life of Jesus. Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and does, in fact, in this text, ascend into heaven. He is going away. But these disciples remember what it was like to watch him die. They remember what it was like to watch him rise again. They were there. And now Jesus is sending them out to be witnesses, to tell people what they heard and what they saw and what it means. The way that I have a connection with Horseshoe Bend is that my friend told me about it. The way that people are going to have connections with God through Jesus are going to be because the disciples tell us about what they have seen. They're going to be living ambassadors of these events, not simply telling the story, but allowing the story to play out afresh on the stages of their lives. So it won't be just that they tell the story. They will live the story. Jesus will speak through what they do and what they say, even when they're not directly telling stories about Jesus. And Jesus will do that even though he has ascended into heaven. We always mark the Feast of the Ascension 40 days after Easter, which means it always falls on a Thursday. And some churches will still have Thursday services to observe it, and I hope maybe that someday we might do that again at Trinity Church, too. But I think it really just seems kind of spooky to people now. People don't really have a sense for it being very important. You know, the disciples didn't understand what the resurrection was about. We see that in this story. They asked Jesus whether now was the time in which he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. After all that they've seen, they've watched Jesus rise from the dead, they still think that all of this is just a precursor to Jesus taking power, to Jesus making people do what he wants. They think this is going to turn into an opportunity to make Israel great again. An opportunity to take their vision of what their nation is supposed to be and make everybody else follow it or else. They get one thing right there. The ascension means that Jesus is in charge. That's true. His human nature goes to the right hand of God. Jesus is in charge of every time and every place. But that means that Jesus isn't really interested in making the nation of Israel great again. It means that Jesus isn't really interested in making any nation great again. His plans are bigger. He promises to send the Holy Spirit to the disciples so that they will have power to be witnesses in every time, in every place, and to every people. To the wonderful reality that we no longer have to fear death, that we no longer have to shape our destinies. We no longer have to cling to our rights and our power to ensure our prosperity, because Jesus' resurrection and ascension means all of that is secured for us. And all of that is secured for us and for the world. We no longer have to force people into our vision for what society should look like. Because Jesus' resurrection and ascension has brought in a new society that functions not on forcing people, but on gracious invitation through love. That love is what the disciples are sent to be ambassadors of. They're sent to be ambassadors first to the Jewish people, but within a few generations, they are from most of the ethnic groups in the known world. They were people of Israel, yes, but there were Turks, and there were Greeks, and there were Egyptians, and there were Romans. There were people from Gaul, which is now France, people from what is now Spain, within just a couple hundred years of Jesus. And even today, being Jesus' ambassadors means that our primary identity is as Christians, not that we are from a particular country. And so when the temptation comes along to try to say that we're Americans and we have rights, we respond by saying that we are first and foremost followers of Jesus, who gave us an example of laying aside all his rights and even his very life. Paul is very clear on this in Philippians chapter 2. We are followers of Jesus, which means we are witnesses. God makes us storytellers who use our lives to tell the story of Jesus. And that means that we are much more concerned with the well-being of our neighbor, with demonstrating love to our neighbor, than we are with our rights. When Christians are living faithfully, we distance ourselves from the question that the disciples asked in the reading today, "Is now the time you're coming to restore the kingdom to Israel?" When we are living faithfully, we resist grabbing on to the reins of power so that we can try to control the outcome of events. We resist trying to shape our own destiny because we rest in the promise that Jesus will send us to the ends of the earth, to people that we never knew or noticed or even aware existed, to tell the story of Jesus using our lives. And we trust that in doing that, in giving us the power to do that, Jesus will make us prosperous, that he will give us abundance, that he will make our lives much more interesting than they ever would have been without his charge to be witnesses. So God, Jesus, sends the first disciples to be witnesses, and that has never stopped, because I am a witness to Jesus' resurrection and to Jesus' ascension. You are too. No, we weren't there. We didn't see it happen the same way that Bob saw Horseshoe Bend when he was a child. But God has given us the Holy Spirit, and Jesus has been at work in our lives. We are baptized people, and we have seen the work that Jesus has done. And that work in our lives to change us, to make us different people, is proof of the resurrection and ascension. And so we are given the Holy Spirit and power to be witnesses in just the same way those first disciples were. It is our job, and it is our job whether we're meeting together for in-person worship or not. What it means to be the church is to be people who tell the story of Jesus through our lives and through our actions, and that doesn't stop for a pandemic. It doesn't stop when in-person services have to be canceled. It is not just the job of the clergy. It is the job for every one of God's people, for every follower of Jesus from every country and in every place. That might sound like an intimidating job. You might worry that people won't like you, that you won't say the right words, that you don't know enough to be a witness. But I think to be a witness, all you have to do is pay attention. All my friend had to do to connect me with Old Baraboo was tell me that they used to call a street Horseshoe Bend. All you have to do to connect people with God is tell them what you have seen and heard and watched God do in your life. And the same promise Jesus gave to those first disciples is a promise to you. God will not leave you to do this work by yourselves. God promises to send the Holy Spirit so that we have power, so that we have words, so that we have stories
that will help people connect with God through Jesus. That power will not only send us to our neighbors and friends. That power will not only send us to people who like the memes that we share on Facebook. That power will send us to people who are different from us. That power will send us to people with different politics, to people with different backgrounds. That power will send us to people we would not have gone to people we would never have noticed, because the ascension means that Jesus Christ is Lord of Baraboo, of Family Values America, of the United States of America, and Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is Lord of not just one part of that, but all of it. And God will go before us to prepare the way for witnesses to come with the Holy Spirit and power and stories of Jesus, so that all the world may know the life that comes through connection with God through Jesus Christ. Amen.